You're listening to the FQXI podcast. Now, Brendan, remind me, what item is coming up next?
Surely you can work it out for yourself. We've only got two items left on the podcast, and we ran through all of them in the podcast menu. It's not as though you need a crystal ball to work out the future. We all have the ability to predict the future based on information in our environment. FQXI member Suzanne Still, an information and computer scientist at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, has been investigating this feature called predictive inference, and it may extend down to the molecular level. Still has been chatting with reporter Karin Pikama about how this may lead us to redefine the difference between living and inanimate matter.
The future is inherently uncertain. While on holiday in Hawaii, I was caught out by an incredible rainstorm wearing nothing but a t-shirt. As 10 minutes earlier, there had been no cloud on the horizon. Based on my experience of living in the UK, where I have lived for several years, clear blue skies generally mean that good weather has set in. I quickly learned on subsequent days never to set out without my umbrella, whatever the state of the sky. Suzanne Still, who incidentally works at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, together with Gavin Crooks of the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, has been wondering whether our ability to make informed predictions about the future will not only teach us when to bring an umbrella, but might also help us to formulate an entirely new definition of life. For animals and plants, it might be fairly obvious that they are alive, but for smaller systems, it might not be so straightforward. One way in which living systems might differ from non-living systems could be that living systems are able to adapt based on a sense of their environment, while non-living systems can't. Predicting the future based on past experience is a process called predictive inference and is thought of as an act of intelligence. With the help of an FQXI grant, Still and Crooks are investigating whether predictive inference is key to distinguishing between living and non-living systems. In two separate Skype conversations, both with slightly challenging connections, I caught up with Still to discuss their proposal and the first results. Still started by setting out their mission with an example in which she speculates about how she would learn from her experiences compared with how a rock would learn from its experiences.
If I chisel down on the rock, the change of the state of the rock will not inform about my chiseling in the future. But if somebody chisels on me, it's a whole different story. You know, living things learn, adapt, and predict, and non-living things don't seem to do that as well. But how far can we push that down to the molecular scale? There is something interesting that happens when matter self-organizes. But the process of self-organization in biology leads to the effect that basically in living systems, the whole is more than just the sum of its parts. And how exactly that works is still not quite understood. So a large variety of examples have been studied carefully. And this has led to a collection of many different special cases, but with no clear understanding of an organizing principle underlying the really colorful variety of life, which is fascinating.
So Still and Crooks, with their proposal, are aiming to find that underlying principle. Still goes on to talk about the two most popular candidate principles that underlie life.
There is the efficient use of energy, which may give organisms a competitive advantage. And there is the efficient use of information. Now, people have pointed out that for an organism, information about the future is of the greatest utility because it allows it to predict unknown situations. So you basically build some kind of representation or some kind of model from the experiences you've made or the data you have acquired, and you want that model to generalize to data you haven't seen yet. In other words, you want that model to be predictive.
This process, which is called predictive inference, lies at the heart of Still and Crooks' proposal.
The core question is, how does predictive inference come to bear on the fundamental physical limits of energetic and information processing efficiency? So can we do better? Can we push things to the ultimate limits if we process information in such a way that we pull out predictive parts? And in particular, we want to focus on a trade-off between efficiency and speed. So efficiency is just one side of the coin, because processes can be made efficient when they're running very, very slowly. But biology can't afford to wait long times. Or in other words, if I could figure out with a very high accuracy that that tiger over there is going to eat me, but it would take me a very long time to figure that out, then that tiger over there would eat me. So I need to figure that out quickly, but I might not be able to figure it out to like the greatest precision of all in the time given.
So to avoid the risk of becoming dinner for the tiger, it is essential that we sometimes also act quickly, even if that means that we might be running away from something that is not a tiger and waste more energy than is strictly necessary. Still explains that there are two major principles that influence the response speed of an organism or system. The first is that there is a trade-off between thermodynamic efficiency and power, meaning that it is possible in some situations for an organism to achieve the maximum efficiency with minimal costs in terms of power, and in others, to maximize power with minimum thermodynamic efficiency.
There is large literature on this, that there's this trade-off between sort of like thermodynamic efficiency and power, which we're in the process of studying using a model system. And then there's also the question of just simply computational time. So like, is there a trade-off between efficiency and computational time it takes to perform the computation, and how does prediction play into this?
In previous work, Still and Crooks have shown that the system's memory may help to improve efficient use of energy.
We have shown that there is a connection between the dissipation of energy far away from thermodynamic equilibrium and that part of a system's memory which is not informative about the future. This can be used to quantify the efficiency or the effectiveness with which a system performs predictive inference. This connection that we showed between the thermodynamic efficiency away from equilibrium and this non-predictive information sort of might hint in the direction that biomolecular machines, in order to achieve high thermodynamic efficiency, might have to do something that resembles predictive inference.
In their proposal, Still and Crooks are asking whether it is possible for systems that use their memory to predict what an environment is going to do can be more energy efficient without losing more time compared to systems that are unable to use their memory. Limiting the waste of energy, or so-called dissipation, might be an important tool for these smarter systems.
So it's very easy for me to convince you that an organism would make some kind of prediction so that it can use them to accomplish something and have some advantage over other organisms. But some current research in neuroscience shows that parts of an organism can do that too. So if you take parts of the brain and you study them, you can find that some neurons or some neuronal circuits also seem to be doing some kind of predictive inference. But then you can go further and ask, how small can I go and still find systems that implement predictive inference? Does the machinery of life do something that smart on every scale? So in our previous work, we've taken the view that there's a system which is embedded into a stochastic environment, and that the way in which the system reacts to its environment betrays how much intelligence is built into the system. And in this setup, we have shown that the non-predictive part of the system's memory is related to dissipation, and that then suggests that under certain conditions, systems that can predict their environment better might perhaps do better in terms of dissipation.
While none of their material from this grant is yet published, and their work is still very much in progress, there are already theoretical conclusions that can be derived from it. One such theoretical result has come about with the help of Arne Grimsmo, a PhD student at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology in Trondheim. In a response to an article still published in 2012, he made an important suggestion which has since led to a fruitful collaboration.
He realized that this relation we have between non-predictive information and dissipation also holds in the quantum regime. And so him and I, we started working together, and we worked out a theory for optimal quantum predictive systems. We managed to quantify the predictive advantage that a quantum system can have. So we understand now how the quantum nature of predictive inference plays out. Under what conditions can we have a quantum advantage? And how large can it be maximally? So we know the fundamental physical limits of predictive processing in quantum systems. Because the same relationship that we found for classical systems also holds in quantum systems.
Which is to say that in the quantum world, non-predictive information is again linked with thermodynamic inefficiency or dissipation. This new realization allows Still to quantify the predictive advantage of a quantum system. And there is more to come.
So the next thing that we are then going to work on is this issue of feedback. So what if system and environment, system and experiment are evolved together in time? What if there's like two systems that influence each other, drive each other, and feedback onto each other in an informational sense and in an energetic sense? And there's new work by others that's going to help us a lot. We're in the process of extending our work from the discrete time setting to the continuous time setting because we're going to need that to attack this question of strongly correlated systems when there's feedback.
Still and Crook's work on this ground to date has already opened up a new theoretical framework for thinking about energy efficiency in small-scale systems. Work that is essential for our need for increasingly advanced technology. For instance, to build ever faster computers, scientists need to work at incredibly small scales. At such small scales, energy inefficiency can cause systems to overheat and thus sets limits on the smallest size a system can be. But with their results, Still and Crooks are hoping to give researchers new tools to limit the waste of energy, potentially allowing them to create much smaller systems in the future. But Still says that, for her, this is not the most important aim of their proposal.
The more exciting thing, I think, would be this view, you know, like, about life. I don't want to go back to the old belief that living matter is, like, fundamentally different from non-living matter. But still, there's this mechanism of self-organization, and then once systems sort of, like, self-organize and the whole becomes more than the parts, then on a macroscopic level, you can definitely tell apart living systems from non-living systems, just intuitively, right? And so really what we want to get at is, you know, in what sense are they different? And they must be different in an information processing sense, right? But I would find it fascinating to see whether small-scale components of living systems are doing something like predictive inference. Doing predictive inference is an act of intelligence. So they would basically, by means of just running their dynamics, they would be doing something incredibly intelligent. If it's true that the way in which living systems differ from non-living systems is by means of the efficiency with which they process information and thereby also energy, then that would give us a whole different way of defining what it means to be alive.
That was Suzanne Still speaking with reporter Karin Pikema. And you can read more about the work and the role of quantum effects in speeding up the process of predictive inference in an article by Karin on the website www.fqxi.org/community.